You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Victoria's faith-based charities have a long history of serving people in need through food banks, food cupboards, soup kitchens, and similar meal and grocery programs. But what used to be charitable emergency services are now becoming social fixtures, straining financially to meet increased need and deepening poverty. Faith in Action is a multi-faith initiative to encourage the development of BC income assistance programs and other anti-poverty programs that recognize the dignity and the worth of all citizens. They recently sponsored a survey of faith-based charities providing food services in Victoria and have published the report called Back of the Line. Kathleen Gibson is the coordinator of Faith in Action, and she joins me this morning. Good morning, Kathleen, and welcome to Co-op Radio.
Thank you, Mordecai, and thanks for having me on the show.
First off, what sorts of organizations were included in this study that your group Faith in Action conducted?
It was all emergency food services run by faith communities. In fact, all the emergency food services by definition are run by faith communities, certainly in the capital region and around the province.
When you say faith-based or faith communities, do you mean organized churches or the other?
Yes, churches, synagogues. Other faith communities.
And the study was of Victoria.
That's correct.
So what kinds of changes are the service providers seeing in the situations of the people who are coming to the food banks?
They're seeing new kinds of people coming to the food banks with new kinds of problems. They're seeing people, they have been for the last year or so, who are actually working. They have jobs, but they don't have enough to make ends meet. This is partly to do with the cost of housing. They're also seeing people now who are sicker, physically sicker than they used to be, and they sense an increasing level of desperation among the people that come who are trying to provide for their families and make ends meet and are having increasing difficulty.
And what about numbers?
Numbers. Numbers most definitely increasing in the capital region to the point where a lot of the faith community service providers are struggling to find the money and the food to meet the needs. There's been a national study, the Canadian Association of Food Banks does something called the Hunger Count, and the aggregate statistic for BC shows a slight decrease between 2004 and 2005, but in the capital region, and I think other parts of the province too, we've only seen increases in every one of the 30 or so food banks that we have in the capital region.
So you mentioned working people, working poor coming. What about people who've been pushed off the welfare rolls? Is there some connection here between the situation people are facing in the food banks and the people who are no longer eligible for welfare?
We think there is a connection. We got started in 2003 when we learned that the government was planning arbitrarily to push people off welfare after 2 years, and we felt that in all conscience we couldn't put up with that. And we started to look at the policy and the system, and we discovered that in the last 5 years the caseload has been cut in half, and when we crunched the numbers and tried to figure out where people went, there were roughly 100,000 people we couldn't account for, and we can only assume that some of those roughly 100,000 are the people who are showing up at our food banks. We also see certain people who have no resources at all, no money, no income assistance, nothing. That's new as well.
And welfare rates now are much, much lower than they were years and years ago in real terms, in terms of what the money you take into account, inflation. So
yes.
Are these people who are on welfare also must be a major part of the food bank service?
There are a number of issues. There are issues with the structure of the system. There are most definitely also issues with the rates. And this we can lay to the door of both federal and provincial governments over the last 20 years. It's by no means only a problem related to the current provincial government. And the low rates, of course, are an enormous problem when it comes to affording housing, food, transportation, and clothing for a family.
Now, the people who are in the providing the food and at the food banks, how do they respond to this change and intensity and desperation that the people coming manifest?
Well, apart from the fact that, of course, it's worrying and heartrending, at the church I belong to, St. John the Divine in downtown Victoria, we've had to put bars around our stairwells because we have such difficulty handling some of the problems that present themselves. There are needles all over our grounds. There's human feces around the property and that because there are no downtown washrooms. I mean, it's becoming both, it's a matter of great concern and heartbreak in a sense, and it's also quite frightening at times because it's hard to know what people can do in these kinds of circumstances.
Is there resentment and anger at the kind of multiplication of the responsibilities that seem to be offloaded onto the food banks?
You mean among the service providers?
Yes.
I think more concern. All faiths believe that compassion is important and that we should reach out to those in need. And we do feel that it's time for a dialogue with provincial and local government and others just about what the plan is here. We feel that the faith community's services have, in a way, been taken for granted by government and are being tacitly relied on without there being a discussion as to what makes sense. What we think is wrong with this is that what was set out originally from the 1980s and increasingly now with food banks as a band-aid or a temporary solution is somehow becoming entrenched and expected. We also think it's problematic that a voluntary charity should be used to address an ongoing need that seems to be increasing. And finally, we don't see the logic in assuming that faith communities, which make up less than 6% of the total population, should be providing this kind of emergency service for the whole population. We think that's a public responsibility, and we'd like to have an opportunity to have that discussion with government.
Have you had responsiveness from the government to your request to have that discussion?
We've been listened to respectfully by the minister and the senior managers in the Ministry of Employment and Income Assistance, and I think there's a willingness for us to talk some more. It's a question of kind of convening that discussion. There's also an interest on the part in our area of the City of Victoria to try and work on some of these escalating problems in the downtown. I think the police are on side as well. So I'd like to see, I think increasing numbers of us would like to see a kind of community-based discussion that would, of course, very importantly involve the people who are users of the system, people in poverty. Those are the spokespeople for their situation. We only speak for the service providers. I think that kind of dialogue is long overdue, and I think the province might have some willingness to participate.
What recommendations is your group, Faith in Action, making as an alternative to meeting the needs of the increasing numbers of people who come to the food banks?
We have two sets of recommendations. One set is practical, and these our service providers have pointed out would be four things: to focus more on safe, affordable, and appropriate housing, to look at more sensitive and appropriate employment training. There is employment training out there, but there needs to be more attention paid to the one-on-one relationship with people that are trying to figure out how to get out of the system. Nobody wants to be on welfare. People are desperately trying to get off it, and there are some issues with the system as to why that's hard. Third thing, higher income assistance rates. There's a Raise the Rates coalition that's working in Vancouver. We support that approach as well. And finally, more accessible services. That's finding ways to have people who don't have computers and are challenged because of their situation to get more easy access to talk to people in the ministry. So those are the practical things. The last thing is a set of policy recommendations to look at the policy framework that affects welfare and say, let's clean up this act. Let's get rid of that provision to throw people off after 2 years, and let's make some changes that would make the act make more sense and make welfare both more accessible and less of a trap. And we have some more thoughts on the policy end that we could take up with government.
On the one hand, there's the, you know, the obvious need. People are desperately hungry. They need food. At the same time, the food banks, by some, are seen as an institution that now is enabling a system that itself is promoting creating poverty to sustain itself. How do you look at those two sort of polar propositions?
You've put it very well. It's a real catch-22, and since 1980, when food banks became established in Canada, it's become kind of a trap for us as well, if you like, because faith communities absolutely cannot and I think should not turn away from people in need, and yet we didn't anticipate being built into the social structure or taken for granted. What I recommend to people when I give talks on food justice is that people would both donate to the food bank to help with the immediate needs and find ways to work on policy to make food banks obsolete and do both at the same time.
Has there been any consideration, or would you regard that as contrary to the points you were just making, of a phased sort of withdrawal of, let's say, cut out one service that you're providing?
You mean as a tactic?
As a tactic.
If it ever comes up in discussion, it goes nowhere because you can't victimize the people that need the help. And we follow that through in the sense that when people ask us for media interviews and want visuals of people in poverty, we don't ever offer that kind of thing. We can't exploit people whose situations are already so desperate. We will recommend, for instance, media that they could talk to some service providers and see if, you know, they can work out that kind of thing, but we can't deliberately exploit people. We're over a barrel there.
You have produced a kit called Beyond Charity Action Strategy Kit. Just tell us a little bit about that initiative.
That's an initiative. It'll be one of a series, but this one is for use in faith communities for people to start thinking about the income assistance system and how it works and start writing letters to government and thinking about how faith communities can address some of these issues. So we point at that. It's a description of the current system. We believe that a lot of people assume that there is a social safety net, and by and large it's been dismantled piece by piece over the last 15, 20 years to the point where, unless you are in British Columbia at any rate, pretty much totally disabled or have what's called permanent, persistent, multiple barriers, it's going to be extremely difficult for you to get access to income assistance. And we assume that most people don't know that. And we would like to draw their attention to some of the structural problems with the present system and get them interested in helping make some changes and thinking about how we could have a society that looks a bit more compassionate without putting such a significant load on the faith communities alone. The other piece is that I think people may assume that faith communities are quite robust, and in fact organized religion and the groups that run these emergency services, shelters, and food banks comprise a lot fewer people than they used to, with a very small nucleus of hardworking volunteers, many of them in their 70s or older. And so we need to have that discussion about what kind of support is going to be provided for all of us should we need it, and by whom, and try and share the load a bit more.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and the information that you're working with.
Thanks for the questions and the interest.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I've been speaking with Kathleen Gibson of BC Faith in Action. Their report called Back of the Line is available on their website, and you can find their website by linking by going to ours. We have a link to that, and our website is cooperadio.org/redeye.